Hello. Sorry we're getting started late today. It's 10 after noon, 12 noon here in California. And today is Monday, March the 30th in the year 2020. And today we're going to be looking at Psalm 4, the Psalm of David, Psalm 4 in the Psalter, as we work through and do our daily devotion. Excuse me. I'd like to read it. Psalm 4. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Psalm 4. To the chief musician with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us now. Forgive us our sins, cleanse our hearts, and open our understanding to your word and your word to our understanding. And we pray that by the work of your Spirit, you would write your word in our hearts and minds that we might learn more of who you are, that we would love you more and be much more quick to obey you and to take heed to your word and to love one another as you've commanded us. So be with us now, we pray. Father, we ask all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, this is a Psalm of David, and as you can see, it follows pretty closely the theme, or some of the themes anyway, that have been addressed so far. We see that David starts off with a prayer. In verse 1, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. David does something here that we need to learn to do, and that is first he calls on God. He doesn't talk to men until he has first talked to God. Someone once said, if you don't talk to God about men, you're not really fit to talk to men about God. And I think there's truth to that. So here he cries out to God, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Not how he addresses God, God of my righteousness. God is the one that declares those who believe in his son righteous, those who trust in him, as Abraham believed God, it says in the book of Genesis, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. God is the one who declares his people forgiven and justified. When he does that, doesn't matter what the world throws at us, we know things will be well because God can be trusted. So David here says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. David remembers past mercies. Very important to do when you're in present distresses. It's good to think back and remember all the times that God has helped you in the past and use that as a basis for your prayer and your plea. Lord, you've helped me in the past. Please help me now. You know, as one man said, God doesn't do anything halfway. And if he begins a work, he will finish it. And that's actually taught in the scriptures very clearly. Paul, in writing to the Philippians, said, I know that what God has begun in you, he will also complete to the day of Jesus Christ. Salvation is of the Lord. So here he prays and he remembers mercies and then he says, have mercy on me and hear my prayer. He asks God, please listen to my prayer. I need your help. Well, he then turns and expostulates with men. He admonishes, he warns, he rebukes. But if you notice in verses 1 through 5, he is speaking to the sons of men and he addresses them, as we've learned from the earlier Psalms, as those who heed bad counsel, as those who take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed, that is his Messiah, his Christ. And so he addresses them as rebels against God, and those who war against God also war against his people. And so he says to them, how long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? That is, the things that God had done for David, they twisted it around and tried to make God's blessings and the beautiful things he had done in David's life, tried to turn it into something ugly and the way they talked about it. He said, how long will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? You know, really the only thing that matters in this life ultimately are eternal issues. Because someday all of us are going to die if the Lord tarries. If you're alive when Christ returns, you'll be caught up to be with him if you're a believer. But if the Lord delays his coming, this entire generation is going to die someday. Hopefully not all at once, but you're going to die. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Nothing is more important than your eternal state, your eternal destiny, if you want to call it that. So it's very important that you get things in the proper perspective. It's good to work. If God blesses you and you accumulate wealth, that's great. Use it for the Lord's glory and for the good of his people, and bless your family with it, and enjoy God's good gifts to you. That's what he wants you to do. Paul said that God gives us all things richly to enjoy. So if you have a measure of wealth, thank God for it and use it wisely. If you lose it or if you don't have it, don't worry about it. All your treasures are in heaven anyway. And that's where Jesus said to keep them, where you can't lose them if they're there. But here we see David says, how long will you love worthlessness? You know, the sons of men, because of the effects of Adam's sin and the corruption of their nature by original sin and then by their own iniquities, they have a tendency to despise the things that are really of value and to hug and cling on to worthless things. You know, they are foolish, and that's what he says. And you seek falsehood. They love a lie. They like to be told things are going to be okay when they're not right with God. But if you're not right with God, things are not going to be okay until you get right with God. Call upon the Lord. So here David says to them, how long are you going to be doing this? How long are you going to be stupid? Now we see that pause word, Selah, there in the end of verse 2. But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. Now, he doesn't say the one who is sinless, but the one who has God in his thoughts, the one who is trusting in the Lord, the one who is endeavoring by God's grace to walk according to God's word. The Lord has set that person apart for himself. Note that. It's one thing to be set apart. Right now, many of us are in quarantine because of this virus that's going around throughout the world. It's not pleasant. We don't like being alone generally. Most of us don't, anyway. Not for long periods of time. And so being set apart can be a very unpleasant experience. But here Jesus, or here God tells us, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking by the Spirit tells us, know that the Lord, that is Yahweh, has set apart for himself him who is godly. God does separate his people. This time for you, if you're in quarantine, kind of a lockdown situation, well, stop and consider, maybe God has separated you from all the things that have occupied your mind and time so much lately, and he's separating you unto himself. Use this time as an opportunity to draw near to God. If you're separated, ask God, Lord, please make it a separation unto you. But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. And then David makes this affirmation, the Lord will hear when I call to him. Based on past mercies and God's covenanted faithfulness, David knew this, and he said, the Lord will hear when I call to him. You sons of men may love your worthlessness and your falsehood and all the lies that this world tells in the world, the flesh and the devil. But when I call out to God, when I cry out to the covenant God of Israel, he will hear me because he is faithful. And I am in covenant with him because of his grace and his mercy and his call in my life. Then he says in verse 4, he's still addressing the sons of men here. He says, be angry and do not sin. The Hebrew word angry there literally means to be shook up, to be agitated. And it's not always a bad idea. Here, it's actually, in the New Testament, Paul quotes it and says, be angry and sin not, and puts them both in the imperative, meaning get angry, but then don't sin. There's sinful anger. And, you know, anger is something it says elsewhere that it abides in the bosom of fools. There is a holy anger. Our Lord Jesus Christ got angry at the hard-heartedness of the wicked when they despised those who were afflicted and in need. So there is a time to be angry. But here what he's saying is that you need to be angry. And as Augustine said, if we would learn to be angry at the right things, we wouldn't sin quite so much. And by that he meant we need to be angry with ourselves for allowing ourselves to fall into sin or to be led by temptation. We need to be angry at ourselves for not loving the Lord as we ought to. And then don't sin. So if we would learn to be angry at the right things, we'd sin a whole lot less. But he says, meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. He says, you nations need to quiet yourselves, you sons of men and all your agitation. Quiet down. Think about the things of God. Remember, meditate within your heart. Well, meditate on what? Well, remember Psalm 1? And in his law doth he meditate day and night. So it's good when you're trying to go to sleep. Go over the Ten Commandments. Make sure you know them. And go over the two great commandments, to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And as Jesus said, for us as Christians, to learn to love each other as he loved us. That is, learning to lay down our lives for the sake of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. He's telling him, do what is right before God. And put your trust in the Lord. And these are all in the plural. That is, he's addressing more than one person here. In the original Hebrew, that's very clear. Put your trust in the Lord. He's telling him, oh, you sons of men, you've gone astray. But you need to turn around. You need to come back. Do what is right. Worship God the way he has said to worship him, through his son, according to his word. And put your trust in the Lord. Rely on him. Verse 6 tells us, many there are who say, who will show us any good? People, oh, there's nothing good. It says, oh, Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. That's what we need to be praying. Lord, show your light. Help us to see your glory. And then David now begins to speak personally. He speaks to God and he says, you have put gladness in my heart. Where does gladness come? Where does happiness come from? It comes from God. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. So we see here David had joy more than the heathen do, he says, even when they're in abundance. And then this last affirmation, his confidence in God, is that I will both lie down in peace and sleep. He makes a declaration here. He's trusting in God. He says, the Lord's the one that keeps me. And he says, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. In Psalm 3, he had said, in verse 5 of Psalm 3, I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. He looked at that mercy. And here he says, future-wise, I'll go to sleep. It'll be okay because God is the one that keeps me safe. Note that. Remember this as you're worried about things now. Whatever happens to us, whether in life or in death, we belong to the Lord. So be encouraged, beloved. As David said, hope you'll be able to say this evening as you take your evening rest, as you trust in the Lord and his mercies. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. Why? For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. God is the one that keeps us safe. Amen. Thank you. And we're going to go ahead and conclude, but I do want to say, I think you can subscribe to the GPC, or actually, Grace Presbyterian Church GPC. If you subscribe to that, you'll get the notifications when these devotions and other online activities are posted. So I hope you can do that. Try to be back here, Lord willing, tomorrow. We will make every effort to get started at 12 noon. I apologize for getting started late today. But the Lord be with you, bless you, and keep you in his love and grace. And remember to pray and call on the Lord and use this time to draw near to your God who loves you, who sent his son to die for you, who rose again for you and is ascended to the Father's right hand. And there our Lord Jesus prays for us and keeps us in the love of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Have a great day. God bless you.